This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ooh, are you trying to get your mug a beat? Are you trying to contour those brow bones? Maybe you're trying to lift those cheeks, mommy. Well, if you're going to do it, you need to do it with a quality product. That's why I am tired of beauty products not meeting my standards. It's time to reshape the beauty world as we know it. Well, wait no longer. Meet Worthy We Cosmetics, the first sustainable luxury beauty brand in the U.S. I love Worthy We because they have amazing cream bronze tours, as they say them, which is sort of like this cream blush that sculpts your skin and also like covers all the imperfections. As a newer drag queen, I need help from a gorgeous product like this because Worthy We Cosmetics are vegan, cruelty-free, and even the packaging is biodegradable. So not only do I get my bronze tour shade like perfectly blended into my mug, I'm able to build like a new beauty routine. It's so easy to use unlike some products that are confusing. These cream blushes are buildable in a way that you can't go wrong. Like they're unbelievable. They're unrivaled. It's become a beauty favorite for me. Truly, the wear and finish is smooth, clean. I know you're going to love them as much as I do, especially if someone like me who's brand new to creams and contourings. If you're as new as I am and you could look as smooth as this skin is looking, you're going to love it. So treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand right now. Treat yourself and experience the sustainable luxury beauty brand. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20%. Oh my God. 20% off your first order at Worthy We Cosmetics, spelled WORTHYOUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER. That's Worthy OUI cosmetics.com, and use promo code DRAGHER for 20% off your first order.
Sunshade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her.
To scream, we love to live. Everything is beautiful.
I'm immediately loud, as promised, because you're listening to the internet's only RuPaul's Drag Race race cat podcast.
Yes, drag yes, her. Yes, drag her, honey. I'm Mono Agapian,
and I'm Nicole Byer, and we're so excited to have you back, Nicole. I have so many questions about your trip to Oklahoma. Were you in Oklahoma?
I was in Oklahoma, and the virus is not in Oklahoma magically.
Oh, cool.
Nobody believes in a mask there because there is no virus. Right. I was there the day Biden was announced the projected presidential nominee. And yes. I gotta say, the vibe was 2016 LA. It was somber, honey.
It was somber. It was
so, everybody was so sad. And then I was outside smoking a cigarette. And this black man, the only one I saw in Oklahoma and not at the airport, nodded at me and I nodded at him. And I was like, this is my only celebration.
Yeah, that sucks.
It did suck.
Here in LA, we were pissing cum and cumming blood. Yes. We were losing our minds.
My gas station had a full on party where people were on top of cars. I was so upset.
I know. That's your gas station. You bought it.
It is. It's my gas station. It is Nicole 76. And I own it. I love pumping fucking gas. Or actually, I don't have to pump gas here. No. Yeah. Only in New Jersey, where I'm from.
I miss
pumping my gas.
Really? It's weird to me. It feels like a prank. I don't like
it. No, it's beautiful. Mono, you drive up. You roll down your window and you say, hello, can you fill me up with regular unleaded gas?
And then you say, and I want some gas too.
Yeah, and I want some gas, but I want you to like fucking fill my mouth.
Fill me up.
With gas?
Which is a perfect transition to welcome our lovely, amazing guest. They're perfect. They're stunning. They're drag excellence. They're Jeannie. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, Jeannie.
Hi, y'all. Thank you for having me. I feel like we are technologically amazing right now by setting all this shit up And right. we're talking in different places and it's crazy.
This is Jeannie, what it is now. Where
are you?
I'm in Brooklyn. I just moved here a few weeks ago.
Yay, welcome.
From where?
Thank you, thank you. I was in Singapore for a while. Oh, for a couple years.
That's
and now
so
I'm
cool.
here in New York. So it's quite exciting. It's thrilling.
Tell me everything. Tell me what brought you to Singapore and tell me a little bit about your journey and your decision to come back to New York.
Yeah. So I was in, I've lived in Asia for about 5 years mm-hmm. before I came back to New York. I'm from California. So.
Oh, cool.
And I work in advertising. I transferred out to Hong Kong. I lived there for a couple of years and worked and was a queen.
So you love moving.
And then I lived in Singapore. I love moving.
You hate being same place.
I hate it. And I have no idea where my mail is. It's like in many different places. People got my credit cards. I don't know what's happening. I'm not responsible enough to take care of this. It's very sloppy. It's a very sloppy thing. But yeah, so I was in Hong Kong for a couple of years, in Singapore for a couple of years. And then randomly, I was like, let me try out for Drag Race Thailand because mm-hmm. I had all this footage ready. I'll tell you more about that later, but I had all this footage just ready. Mm-hmm. So I cut it together and uh-huh. then I made an audition in like a day and then I got on the show.
That's wild.
That is truly wild. Oh, and just tell us now, why did you have all this footage ready?
Yeah.
There was this dumb bitch in Hong Kong who was such a fucking bitch. She was
Drag
such
her.
A fucking bitch. She
Get her.
Okay, there's this queen in Hong Kong who was she's really beautiful. She's like stunning. Mm-hmm. And I admire her for her artistry. Mm-hmm. But she was super toxic. Like and I was new to it. I was like, I don't know this. I don't know. I'm just a queen and I like to dress up and I go out and I do the thing. But I rarely had experienced like the club culture and the competitive nature of things mm-hmm. in the US before I had gotten to Hong Kong. So I was like really surprised by it. But this one queen and her like booking manager friend who worked at this club in Hong Kong, they were super toxic. Like they would bring queens in and then they would like try to make you feel like shit for not being that specific style. Mm-hmm. Like they love like a pageant sexy style. And if you've seen me, you know, that's not really what I do, but I do character and camp uh-huh. and silliness. And that was fun for the club. But then they, you know, they had me for a couple months and then ended it. Which is fine, but they were really like mm-hmm. toxic about it. So I was like, I'm going to fucking get revenge. So I went and got as many fucking gigs as I could in as many like top-notch straight-ass venues as possible in Hong Kong.
Yes.
And not even gay clubs, like the straight venues, getting gigs at like New Year's parties and et cetera. And all of them had like cameras and footage. So I just had tons of footage of myself at these events and parties and hosting and doing gigs. Just to get revenge.
I love
it. I had all of it ready. And
so
I was like,
you
let's
run
turn
on
this
hate.
Around.
You run on hate 88.
Yes,
I love
yes.
it.
Haterade is
premium grade.
Quenching.
The great Albert Einstein once said, the best revenge is success.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love that. I think that's if you can turn that into what you've done, which is drag excellence, I feel like what you do mm-hmm. in drag is one of the most exciting expressions I've seen a queen partake in. I love what you do, and I think you should be hella proud. What is it? What is it like? What was it like getting on the show?
Mm-hmm.
That was it was intense, and I did it as like it was a long shot. You know, I sent the video because I saw there was like a video that Pangina Heels posted and it was like, we're open to international queens, and the audition was due like in a day and a half from the time that I saw the video.
Mm-hmm.
So I quickly like overnight, like edited things together, made some craziness, sent the video in. And then I got notified maybe 2 weeks later, a couple weeks later, you've made it to the next round.
Uh-huh.
So you have to fly to Bangkok.
Oh, wow.
And do our live audition. That's
oh
the next stage.
Oh, my God. This is just like fucking SNL where you send in a tape.
Yeah.
And then you have to fly to New York and do the the test in person.
Yeah.
Yes. So I was in Singapore. So Singapore to Thailand is not that far. It's like a 2.5-hour flight from Singapore to Bangkok. Mm-hmm. So I was like, should I go do this? Like, should I pay this money and go fly and go, you know, have to stay in a hotel for a night or whatever and go do it? Is it worth it? Let me just fucking, and I have to put something together and do a whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me just fucking do it because if I was a dancer or something, mm-hmm. you have to be in LA, you have to be in New York, you have to be in the place where the audition happens. So I was like, yeah. professional performers have to be in the place. Nobody's gonna pay for them to come to an audition. So right. I was like, let me just do it. I'll just go. So I put all this stuff together and I had this, like, I bought like all these googly eyes and yarn and shit. And I made this like green outfit. I don't know if you've mm-hmm. seen it, but it's a googly eyes green, like monster outfit. And I made it. And then I went there, put my mix together over like 2 weeks. It was a pretty short time. Put a new mix together, did a whole thing, like a remixed a thing, went there. And then, you know, we were there from like very early morning. I had shaved, like I was like just praying that the hair doesn't come out again between the time I have to perform. Right. I have to like, and they wanted us to come not in drag. So I was like wearing like this robe, like the robe that I wear on the show. I was wearing that robe mm-hmm. and I was just ready for like whatever the fuck happens. I was ready for it. I had a wig ready like that. At least I styled. I was like, because it's hard to bring a styled wig on a plane. So I had to style
impossible.
It before.
Impossible.
It was impossible. And on the show itself was like, I couldn't, us three queens who are from abroad, uh-huh. none of us could bring fucking wigs. So we had to like, mm-hmm. all of us had like unstyled wigs. All Holy the other shit. Queens from Thailand had like, all their, Katie Killer had like amazing wigs ready, you know, gigantic. Huge little gigantic monstrosities. The three of us, me, Vanda, and Mocha were like, fuck. Every morning at 5 a.m. we're like, tease, make a fucking wig.
Yeah. Anyway,
the audition was crazy. We had to like, I don't know if you saw the audition episode. We had to like style a doll, like a little Barbie doll. And we had to like make an outfit.
I missed it. Yeah, I didn't see the audition episode. Is it on Wow Presents Plus?
I don't know if it's on Wow Presents Plus, which you can get for a not substantial fee each month. And it's worth it to watch all of us.
I'll tell you, I got the yearly subscription and it really makes it worth my buck.
We are now sponsored by Wow Presents. No, I'm kidding. We are absolutely not.
No, send
but
us
a
fucking.
It is the easiest way to watch it.
You send us a fucking check is. And then we'll plug it. I'm talking to you. I forget their names. Randy Barbado. I'm talking to you. Send me a fucking check.
Listen.
So. That is fascinating. That is wild. And then you did this, you performed for them live. And then when did you hear?
Yeah. So morning got there at like 6, 7, whatever. My audition was like at 11:30 PM. So I was like,
shut up.
I got ready in drag. And then we waited there for like, you know, cause it takes a while. So mine was like 11:30. And then, that night they told us they're going to call us or message us that night because the next day was another stage of the audition, which we didn't know about. So I had to change my flight.
Oh my God.
To like be there for the next day in case I got to the next round, which I didn't even know what that was.
This is some American Idol shit.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
You're going to Hollywood. Crazy. You're staying in Hollywood. Yes. You don't get to leave Hollywood.
You're here forever. We have you. And
this is a pewter ticket. Now, this ticket you take to the next counter and they might give you a golden ticket. No. What the fuck? So you have to change your ticket. Are you paying for your own hotel stay?
Yes, of course.
Oh my God.
We have no choice. Like the three of us. Mm-hmm. And there was a handful of other queens there from abroad. And it was all Asia. Like, I don't know if anybody applied from like Italy or whatever. Like obviously there's amazing queens in Europe who haven't been on any show until Holland started. But, I was imagining like, okay, are they just like using us international queens just to add some flavor for the audition? And then they're like not going to put any of us on the show. I don't know. Mm. But when I was there, there was a queen I knew from, a couple queens I knew from Singapore, a couple queens I knew from Hong Kong. I knew Vanda before. We hung out in Singapore a lot. I knew Mocha Diva before, like just in passing from Hong Kong when I used to live there. And then so we were like, okay, there's a few of us here. So we were all, you know, paid for our own hotels, whatever. Everyone else, the Bangkok queens, of course, lived in Bangkok. So that's a different story, different experience entirely for them. And then the next day, that night at like 1 a.m.-ish, I got a call and they said, you've made it to the next round. So we need to come tomorrow at this time to the studio again. So I said, okay, cool. So I get to, wake up, get to the studio the next day. At the studio, there's a woman there who's like a PR person. And she tells us, actually, before this, let me backtrack. The day of the audition earlier, like before we actually did shit, they made us sign a contract, which is standard for all this kind of entertainment stuff. But the contract was in full Thai. There was no English version.
You poor unfortunate soul.
You just signed it. I have not gotten an English version like a year or 2 years later. I've never gotten an English version.
They own your life, honey.
They own me. They own me. I probably work for them now and I don't even know it. Who knows?
When you wake up, that's you clocking in.
But that's what they do. They help. That's what they do. They help people in need, just like you. That is interesting. So then, okay, and then you sign a contract, and then you do the show the next, the next day, the next week, the next month?
Oh, like 3 weeks later, two and a half weeks later.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Oh, but that last round, by the way, the PR thing, they did an interview with us. And they just, I think they just tested us for like, do we talk, do we speak well? Uh-huh. What are we going to say? Do we have some personality? That was the last round. Then we found out on Instagram, they messaged me and told me I got on the show like a day later. So there was that was how official it was. They're telling me on Instagram that I'm on the show.
So funny. I mean,
it's crazy.
People be on Instagram. It might not seem professional, but they got the job done. You were on the show.
It's done. Exactly. They did it. I think I was there. I was there
officially.
So you
don't speak Thai at all?
I don't.
Uh-huh.
Are you
done at all?
Do you speak? Are you multilingual at all or no?
Yeah, yeah. Well, my family's Indian, so I speak some dialects from India, and that's. I think they liked having like an Asia spread in the mix, you know, because Mocha Diva is from the Philippines but lived in Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. Vanda is Singaporean, and then I was like Indian American monster creature, non-human, something.
I love it. Wait, so what? I have one before we dig deeper in the show. What makes you the kind of person who's like, I'm going to travel all over the world for my life? Like, and like, talk to me.
I love it when you walk into like a drugstore and you have no idea what anything is.
You don't know
like,
what you're
is
taking.
Is this Tylenol? I don't know what these pills are. Is this gum? What is this? Like, I love that feeling. I just love it so much.
Yeah. International drugstores are especially disorienting.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're like, I just need to have a headache. Can you help me? What
and
is
like,
this?
And they're like, you put this stick on your forehead. And you're like, what? Like, yeah, exactly. You put this glue on your forehead. And that's what everyone does.
That's how it works here. That's how it works in this country.
Yeah.
So that's how it is. And I love the feeling of newness. And I loved Hong Kong. I really miss Hong Kong. Mm-hmm. I also just like, I just like being around diverse people, like many kinds of people, lots of languages, lots of cultures. It was hard to, Thailand was a trip because I didn't speak Thai, and it was a new place to me. Mm-hmm. But having lived in Asia for like a number of years before that, I was like, okay, I'm down. It's fuck it. Let's just do it. Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Yeah.
I love it. I love it. That's so daring. I don't think
it's
I could
do
that.
It's very daring.
I can visit for like a week, but then after a week, I'd be so frustrated that I didn't know the language.
Yeah. It's tough. It's
You probably could. Once you're in it, you're like, you kind of start to just enjoy not knowing what's happening. Like when everyone's talking in Thai, or, you know, when I was living in Hong Kong, everyone's talking in Chinese. Like sometimes it's just time to think about stuff. Like that happened on the show a lot. I would just think about like, what are the other bitches going to wear? Let me wear something different. Mm-hmm. Like I would just think, I would just be in my head, like thinking like a little like,
so you're not getting distracted.
Exactly. I was not getting distracted by the tomfoolery because I could not understand it. And so I was left out of it.
And there's kind of a dynamic that I don't know if it's real or not, but they portray it on this show of like international queens versus Thai queens. Was that manufactured or real?
It was real. I don't think that we all love each other now, but I don't think they wanted us there. Mm-hmm. And if there's anybody going to be out, it's going to be us first, you know? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And they all knew each other. Like, I don't think there was a stranger among them.
Yeah.
The other queens, maybe like Silver Sonic might've been newer because she was a younger queen. So she was, you know, less in the scene, and she's like an art student. So like there might be a couple here and there who are like less connected to the whole community, but generally they're all friends. Like a lot of them performed at M Stranger Fox's bar, a stranger bar in Thailand. Mm-hmm. So they knew each other. And so it was much more emotional when they were up for elimination for this mega opportunity that's important to them too.
Right.
And truly it is a show. It was a show meant for Thailand. We were there for comedic effect or for something. we still wanted to win for flavor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We still wanted to win, but we were like, you know, we were there for some drama. It was real. There was a vibe. That said, they took care of us a lot too. Like they helped us figure out what to, you know, how to get home from the studio, how to like figure out what to, you know, just like this kind of stuff. They helped us, you know, we didn't feel like we were out in the cold.
When See, you're filming, nice. Go like ahead, that. Go ahead, Nicole.
No, sorry. No, I was just saying, I really like that. I like that even though it was a competition, you know, people looked out for people to be like, you good to go home? I was like, no, bitch, I don't know what street this is.
Yes. Oh, yes. And we'd like order each other like food after, you know, after filming. We're like cleaning up our brushes and shit. And we're just sitting around in the makeup area.
Fun.
And we like order each other like McDonald's, whatever it is, just like get snacks for each other, mm-hmm. pick up some nonsense from 7-Eleven or whatever. So it was really fun. It was fun.
What's the funnest thing at Thai McDonald's? What's the funnest
Thai
thing?
Thai McDonald's. You know, there's like some durian nonsense, like a durian Ooh. McFlurry type. I think that's what something that they had there.
I don't know what durian
like, this is.
It's
crazy.
It's like a fruit that's known for being stank.
It's super smelly. There's like signs in hotels that are like, do not bring that in here. Like there's like visual signs that say, do not bring this into the hotel.
That's
so
wild.
There's stuff like that. But generally like people are eating the same, like this, you know, it's like a hamburger or whatever. People are eating the same stuff. And we're all like dying after this many hours of filming. So we're like, get all the nuggets here right now.
Did they take care of you during filming? Like were you fed? Or not really.
We were fed. There's like people making food on. There's like chefs in like a kitchen area.
Oh, okay. Oh, great.
So they make nice stuff. But it was like, you know, like I'm more vegetarian. So like chicken nugget is like the furthest I go into eating meat. Uh-huh. But so there was like a lot of meat. So I was like, I lost a lot of weight while I was there because I was not eating anything for multiple days in a row.
Oh,
And also because. Like I said, we couldn't bring our wigs to the, like we couldn't, none of us international queens could bring our wigs. So every free moment I had, I was making a wig or styling a wig.
Yeah,
so I was like, fuck lunch.
Your drag is huge. Your drag is huge.
It's too big. It's way
too big. Like,
I don't understand. There were times where I could not fit backstage because I was like, I don't know how to get this outfit. And I didn't understand stretch materials back then. Like, I didn't understand. Like, I was still a baby. I was really still a baby queen. Like, I didn't understand four-way stretch. I didn't understand that that's something that you're supposed to wear.
Wow.
Like, all of my outfits were, like, still. I could barely walk in them. Like, this is giant.
Oh, no.
You saw my cloud outfit. It was so
big. I was going
to
say, what do you make that cloud wig out of? Is that, like, cotton? What is that? What is all of
it? It's like batting. It's like a bat, like the, like, stuffing for, I don't know, stuffing for walls or something. It's like a like
Whoa.
A
like oh a wool, like the like, pink insulation stuff, but white.
Yeah, but for craft material, you know, like how headboards are the stuff that's headboards are made out of, like the fluffy
thing.
It's like
goodness.
That kind of stuff. And then tearing it, gluing it, and then like the light strips, the battery powered light strips inside.
Yeah. Holy shit. I love that. And during filming, they don't like sequester you away in the same way they probably know. They're just like, go home.
Go back to wherever you're staying, wherever the fuck you are staying.
That's so funny.
Did they offer accommodations or you had to just figure it out?
We had to just figure it out. There was nothing for us. It was nothing. But it was very bootleg, but it was like, you know, this is how things are done. And if we got it done, we got it done. You know, that's like the most important part. We got to be on the fucking show. I was waiting on day one. I was waiting. I was like, hey, do you have the work visa so we don't get arrested? There was no visa. No, nothing. Nothing like,
Shut
nothing
the
like
fuck.
That.
I there was nothing. Love it. That is there so wild. Like
so you worked illegally, technically.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
I love that.
We got paid. We got paid in cash. We got paid per episode. We got paid in cash.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And
I love this.
And are you paid just per episode that you're on?
Yeah. It's not much, but it helps cover something. It's something. Mm-hmm. It's a little bonus.
That's but, wild.
Yeah, the three of us, me, Vonda, Mocha, we like had to figure out where to stay. And we're like, we don't know how long we're going to be here. What if you get limited to episode one? What the fuck? Mm-hmm. And we had very little time. So after we got on, it was like maybe 2.5 weeks until we had to go. So it was a really short amount of time. I assume same as US Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's like a, maybe like a month or 2 weeks where it's like, gather your shit and come on down.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Would you ever compete in an international all-stars thing if they do it?
I would love to. I would pray that they would pick me. I would for sure do it. I'm like, uh-huh. I'm ready for it.
Fuck yeah.
I wonder who would be in that. Who would be in that show is my question.
I mean, we need England. I mean, you know, we need Baga.
I would like to see Cheryl Hull again. I love Cheryl Hull. I think she's so funny.
She's excellent. Yes. We need some of our Holland queens.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. For sure. We need some Thai queens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that would be fun.
Yeah.
You all are not caught up on the show.
I am not.
This latest episode, right? Okay.
I haven't personally. I don't know if Nicole has.
I don't know.
Yeah. I've only seen
up until now.
Which is crazy. Four. So if you want to say anything that spoils anything, you are totally allowed to, or we'll have you back, whatever.
But just say spoiler before you reveal something just so the listeners can, you know, choose to skip a little.
I will make sure not to. I'm going to rewind my internal clock back to the days of that episode four, because you've uh-huh. heard of episode four, right? So
that's right.
The days of episode four, I will rewind myself back to there and pretend the rest has not happened.
Right.
And I will pretend that I still have the power to change some of the choices I made later on. But
She's an actress. Now, let me ask you this, because we will dig into the episode soon, I swear. But before that, I want to know, what the hell made you move here during the pandemic, Lovato? What made you talk?
Demi just allured me. Demi Lovato, pandemic. She just called me. So my last, after I was on Drag Race, I took a job at Vice Media in Asia Pacific. So I was working there for a year as an executive creative director. And then I got I took an opportunity to come to New York because it was a bigger role. So I'm working at Vice here now.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, nice. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How has your drag career changed since being on Drag Race Thailand?
You know what? It hasn't changed that much, except that people, like, I haven't done much since the show, honestly. Mm-hmm. I wish I've done more. It's because I got, after the show, I was like, I need to leave Singapore. I need to go to LA. I'm going to go freelance. I'm going to go do drag gigs. I'm going to do more. So I was intending to leave Singapore and then go do it. And this has been the struggle for my whole life in drag is my day job versus my weekend and night mm-hmm. job. It's like impossible to do both.
Yeah.
Any professional creative career takes up your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And it can eat up every moment you have free, every creative spark you have, like every bit of juice that you, every drop that you have, it can eat it up. And both of those jobs can do that. So the times where I was like in Hong Kong, where I was doing a lot of drag, a lot of gigs, I was like hungover and drunk at work the next day, like running it, like managing a team of 15 people,
the dream.
Like completely drunk.
The dream.
And it was exactly. And it was like, this is going to kill me. It was really difficult
mm-hmm.
in New York before, like when I was a baby queen, I used to, I was a baby queen coming up at the same time as Bob, the drag queen and Miss Cracker.
Mm-hmm.
And like
cool.
Bob was called Kitten with a Whip back then.
Right.
And at that time, like I was a baby and I almost got fired from work because of like, just the hours you're up and mm-hmm. you know, it was crazy. So I didn't do much drag, but the thing that had really changed was being able to go to mega events like DragCon and go show and like meet fans who I didn't even know. Like I don't have a huge following on Instagram, but a lot mm-hmm. of people recognize me because they've watched the show, I guess, mm-hmm. like super fans have watched the show. So that is a huge thing that changed was it really focused me on, you know, as my career for my day job was like, continuing on, just like to hyper focus on those big events, like focus on DragCon, focus mm-hmm. on this, focus on whatever TV competition will come next, focus on like major media opportunities, focus on a music video thing, focus on this stuff only, and don't do like it's impossible for me to go get a weekly gig and do that. It's just not going to work. like for right. the kind of investment and work I like to put into my outfits and my looks and my thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like not everybody likes them and they don't always look as glamorous as some of the other queens, but there's a lot of work in those looks, like mm-hmm. every single time I do it. So I save that energy for like the fucking big one, the big punch, the big opportunity.
Well, you were in that really awesome The Most Office video with Bob and Pep, and it's great. I mean, that is like entertainment excellence when it's educating, entertaining. That was amazing. What was that like?
It was so much fun, and it worked. Like Pennsylvania. It worked.
It worked.
Exactly. That's the best part of it.
Yes.
And you know, who knows exactly how many LGBTQ or Black queer voters or how many of Drag Race fans watched it and mm-hmm. then decided to vote. But the whole flipping of Pennsylvania was like a bunch of different groups coming together, right? So mm-hmm. that was an amazing thing. But working with Bob and Pep was amazing. And Bob, again, I knew Bob from a previous life. And I want Peppermint to be my drag mom. Like, I need to ask her.
Ask her.
If she will be my drag mom, I need to ask her. Peppermint, if you're listening, I want
you
to be my drag. It was really fun to work with them. They're like, I watch them perform and I'm like, I watch them film. I watch them do their thing. And I'm like, mm-hmm. wow, you guys are just, they're just so good at what they do. They're so good at being in the moment mm-hmm. and just mm-hmm. being on. And they understand the camera. They understand all this stuff. Things that I would love to be better at. Like I watched them and I'm like, you are so brilliant. Like they're hilarious and funny in the moment. I admire them so much just because of so much of what they've done, not just being celebrities from Drag Race, but because of the pure talent that they have.
Yeah. They truly put the work in. I used to watch them both at Barracuda in New York and oh, what a treat.
Incredible. Incredible performers, entertainers. And they're like, yeah, they're good at everything. Mm-hmm. They're like good at working a room, singing, mm-hmm. performing, dancing. It's like, oh my God.
Too much a talent.
They're too good at everything. Peppermint is going to be, there's so much conversation around the top four from that season and Peppermint being the next one to be ready for an All-Stars mm-hmm. crown. And I completely believe it. I absolutely can
I would love that and
believe it.
I would love. Ah, well, Jeannie, you're amazing. We're going to take a small break and then right afterwards, get into this app.
Fantastic. Let's do it.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Are you seeing some triggering ads on social media? Stuff about summer bodies, stuff about the diet cleanse, stuff about trimming down. Fuck that noise. That stuff is triggering for me, and I assume it's triggering for someone else listening. That's why I use BetterHelp. BetterHelp allows me to get in touch with a licensed professional therapist who can help me recharge, who can help me decrap my brain, because those negative images and slogans can really creep in and give me negative body talk. You know what I mean? Any form of negative self-talk that is traumatic for me. And thankfully, I'm using these tools and being honest about them and articulating them in a way that takes the power away from them. If you're thinking about therapy, you should give BetterHelp a try because it's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. You get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. That's how I found my personal therapist. I found my sweet spot with BetterHelp. So go visit betterhelp.com/dragher today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/dragher. Go find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Yum, 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 yum. I like to eat food, but you know, it's hard. Let's be real. Food is confusing and it happens 3 times a day. You want me to cook 3? I'm offended. I'm aghast. I'm agog. The gall, the gumption, the nerve, the audacity, and the cheek, all of it. I don't like it. But now I'm calm because I use Factor Meals. Factor Meals are available in just 2 minutes. They come right to my door and they have really popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie. You can get any kind of delicious meal delivered to your door I love them. I've been using them for over a year, way before I started talking about them on the podcast. They help me feel full, satiated. There's no mess. It comes never frozen. It's always fresh. It's my favorite meal solution. I've said it a million times. I come home after a night of hanging or dancing and I eat a Factor meal. Like, to me, that's the ultimate endorsement. These meals are so yummy that I'm able to kick a craving for a much naughtier meal and come home and eat something I know will be good for my body. So head to factormeals.com/dragher50 and use code dragher50 to get 50% off your first month. Plus 20% off your next month. That's a lot of money. That's code DRAGHER50 at factormeals.com. Go get into it. Factormeals.com/DRAGHER50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Bring back my break. I refuse to stop saying it. It doesn't make any sense.
That's what we say here, Jeannie.
I've heard. I've listened to episode 1 and 2.
Oh,
and I've learned this is a thing that you say.
We say it. It's dumb. It's fun. Jeannie, what was it? Speaking of episode 2, what was it like winning?
It was so fun. And I did not enjoy it enough in the moment. I wish I was more present to be like, oh, absorb the details and remember all the details of it. But I was just like happy to not be eliminated. Totally. You know what I mean? I was like, I'm just happy I'm here again. And I'm happy this cloud outfit didn't melt off of me when the water was there. Because that could have happened. Mm-hmm. That could have easily happened.
Yeah, it could have just fucking ate, just falled all the way down. That, and you had like cool like lights. Did you have like a controller behind you?
Yeah, how does that work? Lights?
I had like a little, like, it's a little plastic remote. So it's a battery powered thing and you just press the buttons. Yeah. And I had two of them because there was one set here, one set in the bottom. And I was just, I couldn't really see myself at all. So I was like, I'm just going to press the buttons and hope it works.
Yeah.
And it worked, and the production was like, I know there's been seasons of the US show where they don't even turn the lights down for people who have, like, you know, light, whatever, but they turned the lights off for me. I was like, thank you all. Thank you all, production, for, despite the other difficulties of this process, you shut the lights off for me.
That's,
you did that
cool
for me. Thank you. Yeah.
That's so cool. So, okay. So this app, we're opening, we're on this app, a lot of shit talking. Yeah. Like you said, everyone is having so much fun in the workroom on this show. And I guess it's because they know each other, because I really love that energy. Was it fun to be around?
Oh, for sure. They're crazy. They're crazy insane. They're whenever we enter the workroom, they're like tumbling and like spinning and outfits and craziness. It was really fun. It was fun to be around. They made the whole season come alive. They're fun people. Candy, especially. She's crazy.
I loved the wiping of the lipstick and then throwing the wipe, and like whoever catches it next goes home next.
I was like,
that is so fucking funny. And then girls are like rolling away, like you said, tumbling away. It made me laugh so hard.
It's so funny.
Yeah, it just reminds me of the earlier seasons of Drag Race. Like, people are messy. Things are, people, someone broke a table. Like,
all kinds of stuff breaks.
The energy. I love the energy of this season. It is such an excellent season. The drag is so elevated. We'll get into it, but do you have any like opinions on why Thai or maybe Southeast Asian drag is so severe up in here?
You know what? In Thailand in particular, gender is so much more open, gender expression so much more open. That I think there's just a lot more room to be like fashion, to be culture, to be connected to, like, to impress people with your artistry. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, I guess the way I would describe it is there's multiple ways in to drag. Like, there are trans queens on the show who that's another entry point for drag and performance ability. So like, I think gender illusion, gender expression, the fact that it's so much in the water and in the air there and so much part of culture means that there's like a lot more openness to explore and do this kind of stuff. So I think that's why it's so elevated. I think like many of the queens on the show, they're designers too. Like, they make fashion for celebrities in Thailand, and
that makes sense.
They're artists. So somehow somehow in, like, you know, Western drag culture, there's a lot of drag that's purely for the gay space and purely for like campy or purely for pageant, purely whatever. But in Thailand and Southeast Asia, drag and gender expression spills out into the streets and into broader culture.
That's awesome.
I mean, it shows in this episode. I mean, later when the makeover challenge is making over men who are in heterosexual relationships or whatever, I just enjoyed how no one who stomped on that runway seemed deeply unhappy or unsettled by it.
Totally.
Because in some seasons of American Drag Race, you've got some straight men stomping down the runway with tears in their eyes. Like, this is the worst thing that could happen to you.
I remember Brandon from season 6 who threw up while he was painted silver in a wedding dress.
Yes. Yes. I remember that.
So fucking wild.
The toxic, I think it's like, you know, what toxic masculinity or whatever.
Oh,
like,
fully.
In Thailand, they're like, those dudes, they were able to, like, they were able to embrace the feminine. They were just happy. And their girlfriends and wives and fiancés were all like, they all loved it too. Like, none of them, not a single one, just from backstage and from the prep and everything, was daunted by getting on that stage. Mm-hmm. They were ready for it. They were like, I'm not surprised if one of them is still performing now as a queen, probably.
Totally.
I think more men should do some sort of drag. It's fun to look in the mirror and be like, I'm beautiful.
Yeah.
That's me. Exactly.
I can't believe I look this sickening. I mean, that's how I feel every day when I put on a strip of lashes, a little ombre lip, and I go, oh,
yes,
she's stunning.
Yeah. We're all Christmas trees just begging.
Yes,
for
begging
it.
For a decoration.
Decorate.
Skirt me, bitch. But so Maya won a bunch. The curse of the makeup wipe. We get our, I'll call it trigger mail, and they walk in. We're stunning. They're wearing stunning gray suits. Wow. With the pink pops.
Yes, this pink lip did it for me. I really love these two looks. Oh,
love.
They just like go together like peanut butter and fucking jelly. I love it.
Gorgeous. Gorgeous. Were they stunning in person, Jeannie?
They were always stunning in person. We were always intimidated. Like,
I
they
bet.
Walk, like, we know them. We know them. They're not strangers to us.
Right.
They walk down these stairs dressed in like the fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is the fashion. And we're all of us are like, oh shit, now what's this episode gonna be? What's the theme gonna be? How are we gonna live up to this? How are we gonna live up to this challenge now? They look so good. We're not gonna look as good. But we can if you watch them, you're like, what is the clue from what they're wearing? So, you know, you kind of try to guess in little breaks between the shots, like, what is it going to be? And none of us ever gets it right, but we try our best.
No, it's vague. And I mean, this week's theme is love, and you get to make each other's makeup up with blindfolds on.
Oh boy, it really got me. I loved it so much.
Awesome.
Most of these girls looked messy as fuck, and it made me laugh so hard.
The joy in this mini challenge was just like, I love this season so much. Tell me, what was it like, Jeannie, doing this?
I was like, I have a strategy going in here. I'm going to lay out all these things. I'm going to do it the right way. I was like, I'm going to powder. I'm going to do, I don't know, in my deluded mind, I thought somehow in 10 minutes I could do it. Like, I was like, I can do this. I can do this. There's no problem here. And everyone else was like, I'm sure there's like different, everyone's going through like what they're going to do. And it was a sloppy mess, I will say. It was a wonderful mess.
It was a mess. Oh, it was a mess. Bandit looks like art pop. Let's see. Like, Tormai is drowning in powder and pastels.
Oh, yes.
Shrimala is painting candy like Play-Doh on a canvas. It is wild. Let's see.
My favorite part was how the general placement of lashes
during this experiment. No one had ever seen an eye before. I loved it.
There were so many cheek lashes. Like, what's happening?
What's happening here?
And I love that, like, your brows were attempted to be glued down or like black, like blocked out, and then it just left two little golden arches that were white. It made me laugh so hard.
It is wild. So Kana looks like a David Bowie diarrhea. Let's see. You look like a Victorian ghost. You look like you're haunting the set. That is
perfect.
Yes. It's accurate. That's how I would have put it on myself. I don't know what everyone's complaining about.
Wait, how do I say
I thought I should have won.
Miss Gon. I'm so bad at his name.
Gim Hwai
is correct. Mm-hmm. Her blowing glitter at a person's face made me laugh so hard because I was like, God forbid she hears open and opens her eyes as being blown into her face. Oh, it made me laugh. I loved it.
Yes, and you can bet that was not meant for the face glitter, probably.
Probably not.
This was
some other kind of glitter.
Mm-hmm. No.
That was Kana, right? McGimway did Kana's face, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yes.
Yes, correct. And Pangina looks like an R2-D2 I want to fuck. how cute is Pangina in person?
She's fun. She gives good advice in the background. She tells you what's up. She'll be like, The most useful thing you can ask Pangina is, what's your nightmare that you would want to see, that you would not want to see on this runway? Uh-huh. That's the most useful thing. But she's real with us. She's like, you know, smoking breaks on the side. I don't smoke, but the queens of smoke, got to have a chance to chat with her. She's real, real. It feels like we're all making this together. That's how it felt on the set. Like, we're all playing our part. We all got our thing to do. There is a version of this that is real. But then there's a part of it where we're playing a part and we're on the set and we're struggling to not sweat as much as possible in this Bangkok heat. That's how it was.
I mean, how hot was it when you were filming? Because I was like, ooh, these girls get shiny. It must be very, very hot.
It is fucking hot. It is humid. It is humidity. Mm-hmm. It is hot humidity. Like, so much powder
because was necessary. There's just no air on the sets because they're trying to make the sound better or something.
There is air, but it can't be too high because otherwise it's going to be like crazy sounds. Uh-huh. And then, you know, from my outfits, like, how do you even pin anything to anything that I'm wearing? It doesn't make sense
because
it's too giant. And so it was hot, but I think like different people have different makeup style, right? So like, obviously if you're living in Thailand, you are applying your face in a certain way because you know what it's like and how much shine and dryness or whatever. For me, I was like, I don't know how am I gonna do. Mm-hmm. I wear so much more makeup than everybody else that I was like, just make it a mask. Just make it a mask that I'm protected from cold, from heat, from like snow, whatever comes, wind, whatever comes at me, I am protected with this face.
You have to. Do you use like a real setting spray or do you use hairspray like me?
You use hairspray?
When I've done drag, I get the purple Aussie can and I spray my fucking face. I love it.
Oh my goodness. I've only used hairspray in an emergency, but I use like Urban Decay setting spray. I don't know if it actually, who knows if it actually works. I feel like it just gives me a sense of I have put something on and it's complete now. Yeah. I hope it works. I hope it works. Who knows?
It works. It has to. So Gim Hwai, she wins the mini challenge. Did you feel the producers' hands in any wins in general? Do you feel the weight of producers in Drag Race Thailand, or is it just like or is it a little more organic than the American Drag Race?
I have to say, I feel the producers' hands in it. Okay. Uh-huh. Because. And the truth, and having been on the show now, like here's my theory about it from being inside of it. Mm-hmm. There are in every episode, you could argue that there are six people in the bottom or six people in the top. Like, it's very wide, right? Because everyone does some good and some bad, and there's a mix of things and everything's subjective. So like in an episode, like episode two, for example, there's six people in the, there's like, you know, Mocha Diva's in the bottom and Silver Sonic is in the bottom in episode two, right? Mm-hmm. But there were other people who you could, if they put them in the bottom, you could believe it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You would not believe it, right? So that's where I think that the production decisions are happening, in that they're choosing, they know who can perform on a lip sync. They know who will survive. They know who can move. They know who can't move. They've seen them. They've studied them. They've studied us. We're like, you know, we're like creatures here who are just like in a tank and they know what we can do. Like you can predict it mostly. Yeah. So that's where I think the production hand comes in, is who are you going to put in the bottom two, and how you're going to do that. Like there's, I feel like for me, I could have been gone in episode one if they wanted me gone. There's no reason why no one would be like, Jeannie should have stayed in episode one. They could have produced it in a way where I was gone. There'd be no like backlash or any kind of like disbelief, because I could have. But then there were four other queens who could have also, if you argue it, look at it in a certain way, right? So that's where I think the production decisions happen. Is like, and okay, so I can't give spoilers away, but you will see more production. You will see more production decisions in the future.
Okay.
Yes, you will.
Okay.
There's at least a couple of eliminations where it's like, were you really out, or is it just like this is an episode where we need somebody out and here's what it is?
Damn. Yeah. Ooh, I'm excited. Oh, I'm excited. Yes. So we get to the maxi challenge, and it is a classic. It's a reprisal of turn your drag daughter into a beautiful bride, like from season six. I love it. I love it. Awesome. Awesome. Kim Hwai gets to choose first. Tell us like about this little process where you're picking your gals. Everyone's picking their gals. Was it super competitive? What was your vibe?
Okay, the vibe, I'll tell you, was Bangkok queens versus international queens, for sure, for sure. Because, like, I think three of us were last, three of us were last. But whatever, honestly, it doesn't matter. Like, it's, like, I think it's, like, yes, it kind of sets you up, you know, whatever. But you go with it. Even if you pick the choice, the person you choose, you don't know how they walk. You don't know how they're going to wear clothes. You don't know, you don't know what their face is really going to look like with makeup. So the vibe of it was, like, okay, who's going to throw who under the bus? Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it this time? But, you know, Kim Hwai picked a good one. There's a lot of pretty ones there. By the time it got to my turn, there was the guy with the beard, Aun. Mm-hmm. And he was not going to shave it off.
And he said, you cannot shave.
Yes. I was so surprised. I was like, no, he's going to, I'm just going to ask. And he's going to say yes. And then fine, cool. Nope. The answer was no. So,
did you feel bad then saying I won't pick him, or you still actually wanted to pick him?
Well, I was like, let me go for the challenge. It'll be harder. Oh, yeah. Let me do it. Yeah. Let me do it, because it'll be harder.
Wow.
And that's how I wanted to play the game, because I don't know, who knows, there's no way to control if you can win or not. But if you can show people you can go for the challenge and you can try your best to not be the same as these other bitches, then what? That's the best I can do. That's the best I can do. Mm-hmm. Like the last episode too, like, you know, everyone, and they didn't show like a lot of my bullshit talking. There was some bullshit talking, but just like, I was like, all the other girls are going to wear beautiful, beautiful glam for the beautiful. And then they're going to try to be evil for evil. So I'm going to do it like sideways. I'm going to do it different. Mm-hmm. But that is, throwing yourself into that is like what I believe in. So choosing the bearded dude, I was like, fuck it. Let's do it. Cause
let's go.
Kun Art is here. She's watching me. And so I better fucking impress her. She's going to see if I back down from a challenge. She's not going to be impressed. So I was like, that's like a mother figure who I'm trying to like, I'm like, I have to impress her. So I'm going to pick the bearded guy, even if it's a challenge. And then I think I picked Bandit to pick next. I don't know if I remember.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember too.
To pick next. And I did that on purpose because I was like, I'm going to pick a Bangkok girl, because I was trying to break this whole international thing. And even backstage, I told Vanda and Mocha, I was like, I know we know each other. Vanda and Mocha, I know you're friends. Let's not talk a lot together and be like a little clique over here on the show. Like from episode one, I was like, three of us, we cannot be like together all the time on the stage, on the floor, because it would make us a target more. It would make us a target more. And it would make us look like we are just these foreign bitches who are here and who don't want to be involved in the local queens, like as if we're better than them. And we're not better than them. We're all the same. So I was like, let's not do it. It's going to look shit. And you saw what happened to Zsa Zsa in season one. Like there was like some, you know, there was tension. So I was like, I don't want that. I want to focus on doing great looks. I want to focus on doing great runway.
You don't want to be Relasia talks. You want to be yeah. No.
Exactly. Exactly.
Those clicks are dangerous.
Foreign, but the same.
Yes.
They are dangerous at this stage. They are. And I was like, I'm going to make it to the top, but I'm not going to have anything get in my way. So it was like, it was complicated for that. But that's why I picked Bandit. And then the other two got like, I think Mocha was pissed at me. Was pissed at me, I think, for the whole day. Because I think she got the pick last, I think. Mm-hmm. Of the guys, but it's like, what is the real difference? They're all gonna be a challenge.
Make a good garment.
It's funny because you say like, what's the real difference? The only difference is that being like picking last puts you in your head. So totally. You know what I mean? Like, even if the hottest person, like the most aesthetically pleasing person, is left, you're now in your head because you were picked last, which is so interesting. The way the human brain works.
Yeah, and it turns you into fucking Magnolia Crawford, like thinking that everything's against you. Everything's against you.
I'm a trash queen. Against you.
I'm a trash queen. But I couldn't make this trash look work. I'm a trash queen, but I could not make this trash look work.
What I do like about Drag Race Thailand is it feels like they're really excited by concept and story in a way that America isn't always into. So it's like, give them a story. Like sometimes they're like, yeah, it looked bad, but that story was awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. The concept. And it took me a while to understand it. Like, because the challenges are like, and I hate to be like, you know, like complaining, like this is more difficult, but it was fucking more difficult. On the US show, it's like the theme is purple. And in Drag Race, Drag Race Thailand is like, the theme is after the rain, what comes before after? Like, it's like a riddle.
It's a little bit more poetic.
It's a lot more poetic. And your response has to be equally poetic. Mm-hmm. That was one of the best pieces of advice I got from Pangina in between, like, you know, random shots. She was like, show us the poetry. After episode 3, she said, show us poetry. Show us poetry.
Fuck. And
I
was like,
I get it now. The concept has to be poetry, and it's a response to the poem that they gave you. It's such a Thai thing. It's such a Thai thing.
And this week's challenge is a 4-in-1 look. It's robot to human to bug to Jesus.
Yes.
It is and wild.
Even that would have the poetry of like transcendence through life's forms. That would probably would be a poetry to that. And you saw that in Candy's look for episode 1, where she transformed from, that was like, there's a poetry there to like lifestyle shift from A to B to like this monk in like Chiang Mai or whatever. Mm-hmm. So like there's a whole poetry to the best ideas on the stage.
Is Drag Race Thailand not coming back? Is that true? Or is it question mark?
I don't know. I think it's a question mark. Think it has to, you know, it doesn't have to be on the same. It like, you know, if they get funding or interest, they might do it again. Mm-hmm. But I think that the budget and the investment is the tricky part. The other thing is Kantana, the company that produces it, which is a funny name. And when I'm upset at them, I pronounce it a certain way. Mm-hmm. Kantana. Mm-hmm. They are the same company who produces like The Face Thailand. And so their whole business model is very like Disney, like it's same as Drag Race, right? Like you make the stars and then you profit off the stars, like you put them into tours and shows, and you make money off of that. So in Thailand, the opportunities that really came up for the Drag Race queens was mostly fashion opportunities. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't know if that many opportunities came up to make us profitable.
Interesting.
Especially the foreign queens. So I don't think it's as strong of a business invest from a pure business perspective. It's not as strong as doing more modeling competitions for sexy, you know, Thai people.
Well, it's just interesting because I feel like Thai culture, you said it earlier, it's a little bit more inclusive of different gender expressions where we're repressed in America. So it's like a tour of 6 drag queens. Can you even, I have to see it.
What?
Where in Thailand they're like, oh, I can leave my home. And maybe, you know, see it at the supermarket or whatever. It's interesting how repressed America is.
America's fucking weird.
I know. It's really kooky.
It's weird. It makes us feel special, though, here. You know, you like the drag queens are like on display. And I wonder if like, I don't know. I wonder why there's not more modeling gigs for me in Thailand right now. I would be there being a star.
Hello.
Right now.
Put, I Hello. Mean, from your lips out. To God's ears. Put it out there. Yeah. You want to be a model. Yeah.
I am. Yeah. That's what I was there for. I was like, you guys, I'm trying to be subhuman. Like, I'm dressed as a creature for a reason. And yes. you are not hiring me for this campaign for your cosmetics brand? I don't understand.
Weird.
This is like confusing.
Very weird. You're so Very Miss weird. Fame. You're just like yeah. so that.
It's my I brand. Would say,
I think what you deliver is fucking exciting. I've never seen anyone smash an entire Tupperware of cupcakes on the runway.
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where'd you get
Did
the cupcakes?
Did you guys
cupcakes?
Get that concept?
Talk to me.
I brought some snacks in.
I love it.
Cupcakes. And I had the marshmallows that I did in my second look. Did you guys get my concept, by the way?
What do you mean? Like you're like a greedy lady who's like giving cupcakes and then you're like, fuck you, I'm gonna eat them?
Yes.
That's what I mean, got. I guess, is there something okay, more good. To it?
No, that was it. It was I was like, deep concept. It was selfishness, and then sharing. The other one yeah. was sharing. Mm. So that was it. But like, oh, I don't right, know why in my like, head I think it's more giving those, marshmallows. Like,
I love it. Do you get my please. Concept? Yeah, you were a greedy lady. That's you just funny. It. It's very funny.
I didn't know if you were going to be like, it's actually a character from Ghost in the Shell.
I'm really mad
you didn't get that reference.
No, listen, I'm not Erica Clash pulling up random references nobody knows about. That's like not what I do. It has to translate. But yeah, it was a greedy lady. And I made those leggings because I don't know if they showed it on the show, but part of the challenge was they gave you a Thai fabric and you had to like make stuff out of it. So
oh, I loved that.
Did they? So they showed it, right? Cool. I forgot if they showed it.
They show it. They show it.
That was the cupcakes thing was fun. And I felt guilty that somebody had to clean that up afterwards. But
yeah, but that's somebody's job. That is a PA's job. They clean up messes. They make sure
that's
things
true.
Are okay.
That's what drives.
Yeah.
I was hoping maybe they'd leave it there for somebody to fuck up their gown or something.
Be even better.
The new marble is a cupcake smashed on the ground.
Oh, yes. My God.
It's a chocolate steak.
What happened? I broke my neck slipping on a cupcake.
That fucking scene in Showgirls is so vulgar. Like, the way it's shot, too, is just like, I can't. Okay, any tidbits about the men in the workroom that you can share that we didn't get to see? Because, you know, they do a really cute job of showing us the men, asking questions. Pretty cute. Did anything happen that you wish made it to the edit?
I don't think anything. They were only there for a very short amount of time.
Okay.
But it was, they were all down. They were just like.
Love.
They were limp. They were like, do what you need. Take my body. Do what you want with me. They were like ready. They were ready. They were so like, just they did whatever we wanted. And I was like, I hope I don't stab this one with my pinning things and whatever. Glue. There was like a lot of, I was trying to like sew something. Like I was delusional again. And I was like, oh, you're supposed to like sew stuff properly on the show. That's why there's sewing machines. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is hot gluing. There's a hot glue factory over here on me. So like that was what was happening. People are getting hot glued into outfits. And that's like, that was the gist of it. So I'm assuming there was a lot of small little glue-shaped burns on these men, but they can handle it. They're straight.
Straight,
they're strong.
Berlin men. They can take a chemical burn.
Yes, they can. They can have Nair. They're good for it. They're good for all of it.
Deal with it. So let's get to the runway. What do y'all say?
Let's do it.
Okay, so Art Aria comes out in one of my favorite looks ever.
It's stunning. It's very Met Gala, like the Catholic one. I don't remember the
theme.
But yeah, I really like it.
It's like white plastic zip ties, but in the most stunning way possible. Mm-hmm.
She's got blood coming from the eyes. The sunburst around her head that's also white. It's like stunning. It's cute. I love it.
How was this in person?
Yes, it was beautiful. They were all beautiful. And it was like she was ordaining us. You know, she was like ordaining the ceremony. Mm-hmm. That's what
Holy
it felt
shit.
Like. And it's amazing and thought out how clearly what they're wearing reflects what we're supposed to be doing for the challenge. Like there's a relationship. They're not doing the same as what we do, because that would be stupid. And they're not dumb like that. They're like, they're like incredibly intelligent and sophisticated in how they put this whole vision together. It's like they put the whole tableau together and they're part of it. So when they're showing us this religious theme, this vibe. It's like, because we're getting married, there's a whole like relationship between what they are doing and what we're doing. And it's not trying to compete. They're not trying to compete with us, because that's not the sensibility that they have for the show, which is amazing. I think there's other times on the US show where I kind of feel like sometimes people are competing with the queens on the runway or trying to.
Really? Like,
sometimes, mm-hmm. sometimes, a little bit.
I don't. Okay. I don't feel that way. I feel like the panel dresses not to theme in the slightest. And I feel like that in itself is in a competition, because it's like, you're doing the stage. That's for the stage. That's you. And then the panel, we're doing something else. We're having fun.
Yeah, we're having fun over here. That's true. Generally, yeah.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying, though, where it's just like, sometimes they're like, well, you didn't do a very good job rapping as a trash can. And then it's like, yeah, it was weird. It was a hard challenge. And they're like, if I was rapping as a trash can, this is what I would have done. And you're like, well, that sounds great.
You're not. Yeah. Sounds great in your head.
Sounds great
in your head, Michelle.
And Pangina's a wet, stained glass goddess thing. And it's awesome.
It's really stunning. Pangina, she really just turns it out. She's so pretty.
She's gorgeous. Yeah. She the way she walks and carries these looks that are both of them, they're not looks you can wear at a bar. Mm-hmm. You can't wear them out. Like they're show pieces. So so Kun Art comes out as the ordained minister of our weddings, and Pangina is the cathedral, and she's just bringing light and color into our. She's amazing. Her bird outfit too. Her moving.
Oh
birds
my god!
Outfit was so crazy.
So beautiful.
Oh, so good.
But the fucking,
she's too good.
That was in the Chuck E. Cheese birds. I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't.
Rainforest Cafe.
So our first pair, our first mother of the bride and bride on the runway is Tormai and Torlai. And please forgive me if I'm saying things horribly wrong. And she says,
it's on it.
After a terrible flood, this bride was left fatherless.
Yeah, and I love that she's holding the obituary. It's a very traditional mother of the bride look. I like it. I thought it was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Chirp or burp. What are we thinking?
I'm going to chirp it. I think it's like, okay, so it's a chirp, but it's like, it was basic, but I did like it. And I liked there was a reveal.
The story's great. So yes. I'm going to chirp it.
Am I allowed to chirp and burp as a guest?
Sure.
That's what I want you to do. Yes.
Okay, good.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it's a burp to me because
I love it.
It's too basic. But I know what the judges were looking for. They were looking for realism. And if you watch season one too, like there was a whole drama episode where they did like an entire soap opera scene. They wanted not drag soap opera. They wanted realism, which it took me a while to learn on the show too, is what they're looking for. So Tormai did an amazing job based on the judges' critique of like, look like a mother of the bride. For me, I was like, this is like a fucking TJ Maxx dress. Can we stop this?
Dress
so that
for
was
less.
My vibe. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I hear you. The mom is horny at the wedding, and that's very sketchy.
Tear it off. Tear it off.
So next is Maya and Bora, and they're giving you Thai, Korean, Hanbok-esque princess gown.
Mm-hmm. I did not love the wedding dress. For some reason, it just felt more Sweet 16-y than like a wedding, but I love the mother of the bride. But then I thought the mother of the bride was like one of those mothers where it's like, she wore a fancier dress to my own fucking wedding.
Yes.
You know, it felt overall very Sweet 16 for me, but I'm going to chirp it because I like it for a Sweet 16, just not a wedding. I burp it for a wedding, chirp it for a Sweet 16.
I'm going to burp it because I agree. I don't like the Jabba the Hutt bottom to the dress. I don't think that's flattering.
Okay.
I'm going to burp it as well. I want to tell you all something really juicy from backstage.
Yes.
After Pangina said about that outfit, she's like, it looks like a Korean Disneyland dress rental. Like a Disney. She said it too. She said it to Maya. You know what I mean? So it was like friendly feedback. Like, listen, you better step it up. Stop making dresses that look like Disney rental gowns, like Cinderella rental. And wow. that's Maya's like, you know, that's the style of the ball gown and the, mm-hmm. even though it was a hanbok, it was like, yeah. So I'm a burp it as well. The colors were cute. And I did appreciate cute. Like going for not a like white wedding, like going for mm-hmm. a different vibe, which is, I think, really cool.
It's a big, yeah, it's a risk. Next, we have Kim Hwai and I believe Hongren or Hongen. I don't know, but they're cute.
This is stunning. I really fucking love. Like,
this is stunning.
This is a mother of the bride who's not overshadowing the bride, but like is like, I'm a close second. Okay, we're not gonna forget the fuck about me. Yeah. I love the bride's dress. I think it's so beautiful. This is a very big chirp for me. Yes,
this is chirp.
I really love it.
She picked first, and she clearly picked the gentleman with like mm-hmm. a triangle shaped face. Which, you know, can lend itself to feminine illusion quite well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure.
Totally. And yeah, it's a chirp for me.
Chirp too. It's so meticulously created, even though I'm sure it was done really fast. It's done beautifully. And it was like sprayed and there's 3D flat. It's like really, it's lovely. It's mm-hmm. really fantastic. And again, foreign vibes, like bringing another culture, bringing something else into mm-hmm. it, which Kim Hwai does beautifully from her Chinese heritage and background. So I thought it was gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. Gag. Okay. Mm-hmm. We have Kana and Keti. And I think this dress is bad.
Okay.
I mean, please. It's strips. It's a dress of strips, I think.
Yes. I wish I got to see what was under all of the fabric. There's just a lot of fabric over the dress, which is like, is there a dress under there? I think I think she did a good mother of the bride look. Yeah. I just wish I could see more of the dress and it wasn't as capey. So this is a slurp. I don't want to fully burp it, but it's not a chirp, a slurp.
Okay. I'm going to burp it because I think Kana is an amazing drag queen and I'm being a bitch in the fun way. But yeah, I just don't think this is great, so I'm gonna burp it.
Okay,
I think burp too. There's a lot of it's a curtain and another TJ Maxx dress. But I see what they're going for. Like the queens who did this kind of like MOB type dress. It's like a sex. Like a lot of them went for like a sexy short dress that they could be like the mm-hmm. sexy mother-in-law with a wrinkled makeup and that. So that one I was like, kind of at least she did like the old lady style makeup too. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it showed on camera that well,
but it did.
That was, yeah. So as you can see, there's like a storytelling there. And
Kana did a bunch of fabric. She did kind of have like the most tense performer. Like we saw that. Was that real? She looked.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And having her try to actually walk in proper heels, etc. Like that was a struggle for Kana's daughter. Mm-hmm. And just like the, how much she's wearing too, which is, I think some of us underestimated. How much can you put on these men that they can carry? There's so much you have to hold and like think about where this is and where that is. Mm-hmm. And there was just too much on Kana's daughter to like be free and feel comfortable to walk down the stage.
Yeah. It checks out. So then we have Anjali and Natatida, if I'm saying that right. And this queen wins because she smiles and she means it. Like,
uh-huh. Yeah, it's so soft, so uh-huh. soft and beautiful.
Yes, she was very pretty. This is like a great paint. I think overall, I'm here for it. Like, they were obsessed with her face. They loved the smile. They loved it so much. I loved the picture taking. I thought the dress was like really pretty. Mm-hmm. And then the mother of the bride dress, I thought was like a mother of the bride.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, it looked really fun. The bow tie dress has gorgeous details. And I just can't get over the fact that they were like, when someone smiles at you as if to say, you know, I'm beautiful. Mm-hmm. It like, it's that weird thing, of like, if you feel beautiful, you are that yeah, whole thing.
It's just confidence. You could like see yeah. the confidence.
Yeah,
it's, for sure.
It's, so that's a real big chirp for me.
Chirp.
Chirp, chirp. And you can see Anjali, like, Anjali is theatrical, mm-hmm. you know, and she's dramatic and she knows how to act a story. So she, and I don't remember seeing this in the workroom. I remember Kana being fucking loud and annoying backstage and trying to like, walk again, like doing the whole thing. And mm-hmm. Anjali probably was in the corner somewhere, like with her daughter, coaching her to be dramatic and emotional.
Work. I love it. Next we have Shrimala and Pavali.
I love her so much. She makes me laugh so hard. This Mother of the Bride dress is not it though. I don't love it. I wish the belt was gone because the belt makes it look more youthful. And then the bride is a little plus size David's bridal. This was on sale. Also was the last one left. Also, thank God it zipped up. We're getting married right now.
Yes.
But I don't want to burp it. So it's a slurp.
Okay. I'm going to burp it because I'm a horrible person.
It's a burp for sure. It looks like a Renaissance, like knockoff, like something bad. I don't know. And I think Shrimala picked early, so it's her fault.
Okay. Next we have Vanda and Mali. This is a very different color palette. It's red and white, shardy kind of look. It's candy and cookie honey.
Candy cyanide. Yeah.
Sorry, this is the music cum notes on the face, as they call it.
That made me laugh so hard because I was like, I see the cum. I see it.
I see the cum. I mean, this was a big risk. This is a big swing and a risk. And did it pay off? This is one I'm torn on.
Mm-hmm. I like the wedding dress. I think the wedding dress is cute. The face stuff I could do without. I don't know. I would have done maybe a veil if, you know, because I think there was like a little goatee or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I thought the mother of the bride was like a little too cutesy. Right?
I'm going to give it a light chirp because it was just a big old risk.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a light burp. I think I liked it. I just don't think it was the challenge.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, daughter's a burp. Candy to me is a chirp. I thought, yes, it's cutesy, but she looked like a little cartoon character, Mother of the Bride, mm-hmm. which I appreciated because I think Candy was trying to show us like some playfulness, which is cute.
I love Candy. I am. We'll talk when we get to the end, but I love Candy.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she's adorable.
Now we have Vanda and Mali. Okay, red and white look. Very big risk. What do we think?
Those are lips on the wedding gown. And for me, that's a wild statement. Like to be like lips on a wedding gown. Like what is the statement? I'm not sure. It's like I'm gonna get my last kisses. I don't know. But I thought she was beautifully painted. I like the silhouette of the dress. I like the red. I just don't like the lips. I do like the mother of the bride look. Although I do feel like the mother of the bride look is competing with the bride. Mm. And then the roses. I was like, is this pre or post? Oh my God. What is Sasha Velour?
Oh, right. I guess it was 2018. So maybe post technically.
It's post. 2019
I still liked
post.
It. I appreciated the fleurs.
Right.
Yeah. I think this was like an address. The red dress was one that Vanda already had. So she like added a bunch of stuff to it. But like Queen on the show, Queen's got away with doing shit like that, where it's like, we're supposed to be doing a design challenge and somebody pulls out something from something they have. And so that one, I love Vanda, one of my good friends, but that was like here's a dress I have. I guess we can use it as a wedding dress with lips and roses. But at least the hair is nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It has a point of view to it, which is good.
Light chirp. I'll get a light chirp.
Okay,
now we're really at an exciting part. We're with Genie and Monster.
Yes.
And you literally say, love is all we need and the rest of the world can crumble. And you're basically predicting the pandemic more here.
Yes. Yes, I was.
Whoa.
I'm a psychic queen. Whoa. Exactly. That was where I learned the poetry. That was where, once I got the feedback about the poetry, I was like, let me use the poetry for this theme.
Yeah. Holy shit. So I love this look. It's neon. You have really fun touches. I felt like you used the beard in a way that made sense with the look.
Yes. I liked the cutouts on the beard, the cutout eyebrows. I like that we incorporated yellow on the dress. Although I'm not loving the drippy downs from the belt. That to me is a little confusing. I like your dress. I think it
tell
goes
Jeannie
with
how
the
you
theme.
Really feel. Tell
oh,
her.
I mean,
tell me the truth. I want to hear it.
I like your mother of the bride dress. I think it fits the theme that you were going for. Overall, mm-hmm. I do like it. I think it's a chirp for me.
It's a chirp for me.
Thank you. I feel so delighted to be here now. Good thing you called me for an episode where I didn't totally shit the bed, which is great. It's important. I was really proud of this one. It was one of my gowns that I was like waiting to wear. Mm-hmm. I was just waiting. This is my favorite outfit. This is like
it
a
really
finale type outfit for me.
It really stands out when everyone else is just wearing like cute-ish things.
Exactly. Yeah. I was like, I want to fuck these bitches over with this hazmat gown. But the concept, I was proud of it. I do wish I did a better job on the outfit for my daughter. And I wish I didn't go for like a trying to make an actual dress. I wish I took that fabric, burned it up, did some craziness, did some gender bendy stuff with it. Because he has a beard. I wish I had gone more for gone for something more gutsy. I wanted to, like, despite him having a beard, I wanted to go for something even more gutsy. Show his nipples, show his tattoos. Mm-hmm. I should have done something more like that, but it's okay. I survived.
You did.
You eliminated me.
I mean, I was like, you're not in the bottom. There's no fucking way. So next we have Bandit and Ponchita, and they're doing sort of a sari-inspired Indian fantasy.
I love this. This is the challenge to me. This is it's a wedding dress, and that is what a mother of the bride would be wearing. It is, the makeup is stunning. She lumbers a little bit, but you know, that could, a little bit more practice in heels for the drag daughter. Mm-hmm. I love this. This is a chirp.
Nice. It's a chirp for me. I really enjoyed it.
Double chirp. This is what Bandit does best, is the textures and the ornamentation of the outfits. Mm-hmm. Like, she's really great at that.
Love. Yeah, it's cute. And now we have finally Mocha and Divette. Mocha, I like Mocha's look more than her daughter.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's a wedding gown. Like, you wouldn't look at it and be like, what is it? But I like her mother of the bride look. It's a very, I think it's pretty contemporary for like a Real Housewife look. If their child's getting married. Overall, I really like this. For me, it's a chirp.
I'm going to be horrible and burp it. Okay. Because her daughter looks like when a Disney character, it does drag to sneak into the castle. So I'm going to burp it.
God, like God,
well, you can't, the face is a little aggressively masculine, but I don't think that was her fault.
Totally.
Yeah, I think chirp for me, because there was I saw Mocha put so much work into the dress, like fucking so much work. And like I can say this because Mocha is a friend of mine and we're friends now, but I wasn't a fan of her drag on the show. I didn't like her outfits or the way she did her. It was like pageant and not done to an extent that it should be. But she has improved so, she's an amazing performer and she's done, she's really improved. If you watch her Instagram now, like, her makeup, her hair, her style is like shot through the roof. Like, she's amazing now. But I give it a chirp for her potential and where she got to with her drag.
Okay. A potential chirp.
Oh.
I love it.
Future chirp.
So they give Jeannie some flack and you're safe, of course. And Anjali wins. Ginwai was close.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shrima Lakana and Candy are all in the bottom to do a lip sync to Letter from a Rental Wife.
I gotta say, I really love these lip syncs. I love a do-it-over lip sync. I love a three-person lip sync. I love that they don't give a fuck. They're like, we're gonna put whoever the fuck we want in the bottom. We're gonna make them do whatever the fuck we want.
Yes, it's a game. It's a game. This song
and this
is
one's
so fun,
wild.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, it's wild song.
It's great. I really enjoyed it. And then we had props, we had little letters.
We had poison,
suicide. Which I truly think was air freshener and might be hazardous to your living health.
Truly.
But the effect was great.
We have some baby birding of the poison back and forth. What was this like seeing this in person? This was, it looked a little messy.
It was Dragula level revolting is what it was, but it was great. It was great. And I'm surprised it was those three who were in the bottom.
Like, yeah.
I don't know how y'all felt, but like it was, they didn't do that well, you know, but I think not having a clear point of view was kind of part of it. Like if they took more of a risk in a, like Candy took a risk, but it was like kind of like a medium level, like, okay, it still looks like wedding-ish. I don't know.
Do you feel like the right people stayed? Because Trimala and Kana stay and Candy goes home. Did you agree with that choice?
No, I didn't. I cried the whole time afterwards.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't know Candy that well. Because Candy, like I said, like she was one of the sweet ones who like helped take care. You know, she's, and I was like, this has been her, I'll say this, like, I don't want to like degrade my role as a queen here or whatever, but like, I do this for fun and I love it and I don't take it so seriously because I'm just a weird, ridiculous person. And you can see that in the choices that I made. Like I was like, I'm going to be in nuclear ridiculousness. I'm going to do it my way because it's my show. Mm-hmm. But Candy is like a lifelong performer and this was like her dream. So I was like, I want to win too. We all want to win. But yeah, so I felt it really like, you know.
I was shocked. I thought she would go so far.
I mean, to me, I would have saved all three. I thought this was a great lip sync. I had a very fun time watching it. And I didn't think those were like bottom looks.
I don't know.
Who was in the bottom for you, Nicole? Who was in the bottom for you then?
Oh my God. I'd have to.
Tell us.
I'd have to like figure it the fuck out.
I love Trimala, but I kind of thought she should go home because I just didn't see a lot of the lip sync. The way it was edited, like I didn't see her do anything. But maybe Candy literally was just the least familiar with the words.
Mm-hmm. It might be.
Candy goes home. We're sad. We hate it. Sad. And Jeannie, before we say goodbye, and we don't, no spoilers. Before we say goodbye, we are so excited to continue following you online. What would you like to plug before we bid you adieu?
The only thing I would like to plug is follow me on Instagram so I have an inflated sense of self-importance and worth.
Because
fame and love are the same thing.
I love it.
Those are
Mono,
facts.
What do you want to plug?
Just follow me on Instagram at Mono Agapian, and you'll see all my podcast bullshit that is just popping up and popping off all the time at Mono Agapian.
Yon, I'm at Nicole Byer. Same. You can figure out all that shit. I did a live virtual episode of Why Won't You Date Me? It is still available until November 17th. I do not know when I'm going to be posting it for free. It'll be sometime late next year. But you can get a ticket and watch it till the 17th. The link is in the bio of my Instagram and my Twitter. And my guest was Naomi Smalls.
Yes.
So it's, I want to see that.
Love it.
I want to see that. That's amazing. Follow us and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Rate and review us. Leave an unpopular RPD, our opinion, and we'll talk about it on the pod. We're still waiting for those on the Apple Podcasts. We'll talk. But that's it. Until next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Still about to throw some shade, Kiki with the gaze. It's time to drag her. Time to drag her. Drag her. That was a HeadGum Podcast.